I want to talk with you tonight in this next part about families. And then tomorrow morning we're going to talk about alcohol and the impact of alcohol specifically. We talked about some other drugs. And then we'll talk about gambling in the morning as well. The afternoon session, there's actually two sessions tomorrow afternoon. The first one is going to be a combination of sexuality in the Bible and pornography, internet pornography, chat rooms and that sort of thing, cell phones, sexting, and a lot of things that go with that. The nature of these lessons, a lot of times people almost want to gasp when they hear that this is going to be talked about. Usually when I present these, I try not to use language that is offensive, but I do try to use language where it's clear. So what I've done is I've renamed some of the common terms that we would use in sexuality, but you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about if you know about that arena. If you don't, then you may not have a clue what I'm talking about. So, like Jesus with the parables, he spoke so those that needed to understand could, and those that weren't able to understand, no harm done. So, and by the way, let's not deceive ourselves to think that our young people are not exposed to this. They're exposed to it all the time. There is an extra class during that time if you'd like for your young people to be there. And if you have questions afterwards, I can speak with you even more frankly on those topics. But let's talk about families. I believe every family has its areas that it has to work on. Now, before I can really talk about the alcoholic family, I feel that it's necessary, alcohol and drug family, I think it's necessary to go over just very quickly what is actually a series of lessons in itself to establish what God's pattern for the home is. And you can expand these topics at your convenience. By nature and training, most of us are caregivers. We see that a lot with mothers who give care to a child, and we see that with people who take care of their families. They're there for them to support and encourage. But I think that's kind of a natural thing, to take care of your own. But there's a difference in caregiving and caretaking. And I make that difference throughout this series because one speaks to a gift that we're offering to someone else that there's no strings attached. In my mind, caretaking speaks to it's something I'm taking, I'm getting something out of that. And sometimes that speaks to motive. Often we see those who are caught up in a rescue mode doing the caretaking rather than the caregiving. And basically what I mean by that is people who in their intentions to help a problem become a part of the problem. And here's what that means in terms of addiction. You get a call at 2:00 in the morning and someone you love is in jail. They got there because they got picked up drinking or whatever, using some substance. And they call, and they promise you everything under the sun. They promise you, I'll never do it again. I've learned my lesson. Please come bail me out. I'm afraid. And our guilt starts working. And what we do is we go down, and we may bail them out of jail. And here's what I want you to see. Jail's not the worst thing could happen to them. Actually, what I hear my addict saying is jail's the best thing happened to me. When I realized I was there on my own and I had to get out on my own, yeah, I was mad at them, but it was the best thing that happened to me. Now, that's not always the case. Safety first. But I want to suggest to you that sometimes the very thing that we intend to do to help the person actually helps them to stay sick, helps them to stay in their addiction. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. The overview I want us to look at is God's plan for the home was one man for one woman for a lifetime. Back in the days of pop bottles, we used to say no deposit, no return. And that's exactly what you get in marriage. What you get's what you get. No deposit, no return. Make it work. Okay? And had one woman one time said, "Art, show me one passage that tells me the wife has to love her husband." And there's a passage that says that about the husband. And finally I said, "Well, okay, let's go to the older women have to teach you to love your husband. And so I guess you have to learn to love him that way." But we have kind of a crazy concept of marriage in this country. We have the image that of romance, and that, you know, our toes have to tingle. We have to be like Bambi and be all twitter-pated in order for to feel like that we're in a good home and a good relationship. Guess what? Twitter-pates don't happen every day. There are days that folks just aren't real huggable. When you're sick, you're probably not huggable. There are days that are good days, and there's days that are bad days. But the thing that keeps a godly home together is a thing called commitment. It is about having made a vow before God and these witnesses that says that I will be with this person until death us do part. And it's usually, "Ed, so help me God." And what Ecclesiastes says, when you vow a vow before God, defer not to keep it, for he has no pleasure in fools. If that passage is true, and I believe it is, we've got a bunch of fools walking around today that aren't honoring their marriage vows. We made a solemn commitment to God, and we need to keep it. We made a commitment to a partner that for better or for worse, we're going to stay together for thickness and thin. You know, we're going to stay together. We're going to have a commitment that will take us into the sunset together. And that's what makes a home work. It's not Twitter-pating. It is commitment. In this relationship, the wife is to receive honor. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. The husband is to give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Not meaning that she is puny, but meaning that she is delicate in her nature. She's designed to be the mother in the family. And I compare this to, how do y'all say this out here? If you go put a flower in a pot, is it a vase or a vase? A vase? A vase? Okay, whatever. Anyway, when you do that, you ever notice when you go to the florist that sometimes you'll get this thing with tinsel paper around it, all colored paper, and you take it off, and all you got is an old clay pot? That's the guy. He's just an old clay pot. Okay. But the woman is this beautiful, decorative vase. More fragile in nature than that old clay pot. Each designed for a different purpose. And the woman's to be given honor. Honor your wife. She is to be properly adorned, and she is to talked about in Titus 2 and verse 5 as being a keeper at home. That home is where she reigns triumphant. That didn't say keep her at home. It said keep her at home. There's a difference in the two. I'm running through this fast. And then she is to be in subjection to her husband. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 and Ephesians 5:22. On the other hand, the husband is to be the primary provider. If any doesn't provide for his own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5 and